Space, 1999. We are in a communication center housed in a cave of ice beneath the surface of a frozen, mist-shrouded planet somewhere in space. Dr. Cabot Rowland, dressed in fur, sits before the computer studying a printout.
Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating.
Say, I was right. Admit, Jack Tanner, did tell you, did prophesy long before you heard from that eyeless instrument.
Yes, Jack, you were absolutely right. But tell me sensibly how you could foretell that a heavenly body like Earth's moon was approaching our planet.
Not like it. It is the Earth's moon, that self-same orb whose unforgiving eye beheld the birth of Caesar and no doubt your own.
Noting Rowland's skepticism, Tanner angrily presses buttons, activating the main viewing screen.
By heaven, Jack, you are right. That is our moon, the Earth moon. We've got to contact them.
While in main mission aboard Moonbase Alpha, Captain Koenig is listening to a report on the strange planet he is observing on their screen.
Codenamed Ice Planet. Has atmosphere, but temperature drops to 200 degrees below zero.
Sounds like a marvelous cold storage plant.
Commander, I have a signal from the ice planet, a human voice.
Hello out there. Hello, Alphans. We have a life here, a long life that you could share.
A long lane and no turning.
Ultima Thule is a lost paradise. Come.
Lost with no final end. Stay away, stay away.
Strange invitation, I must say. What do you think, John?
What do I think? Ultima Thule, here we come.
Soon, Eagle One, with Koenig, Bergman, Helena, and Carter aboard, lands on the forbidding new world.
Remember, if you get lost, the Comlock locator beam will bring you back to the Eagle, okay?
Right.
Let's go.
At that moment, in the ice palace beneath the surface, half-mad Jack Tanner, head lifted high, bays like a wolfhound.
Be quiet, Jack.
I am the dog that bays the moon who sets her cats among your pigeons, Doctor.
Another prophecy?
Merely an inclination of my ear in the right direction. Observe.
He turns a switch on a panel.
They've come! They've come!
Rowland jumps to the console and calls.
Alphans! Alphans!
Go home!
Alphans! Alphans! Dr. Rowland here!
Go home! Go home!
On the surface, the Alphans stop on a signal from Koenig.
A voice. I heard it. Listen.
Men of Alpha, do you hear?
Yes, yes, we hear you. Where are you?
My pathfinder indicates this spot is where their signal came from. But there's nothing here.
They know we're here, but it looks like it's going to be hard for us to find them. I say we go back to the Eagle and let them find us.
Amen to that. Anything to get out of this cold.
As they start back, there is a sudden blast of wind and snow. When the wind dies down, Koenig looks around.
Victor! Where's Helena? And Carter? They've disappeared. Helena! Helena! Carter!
But neither answers. Helena, near total exhaustion after an eternity of stumbling through the bitter cold and approaching darkness, collapses just as Dr. Rowland emerges from the shadows and catches her in his arms.
There's one of them. Ted, give me a hand. Good. Now, where are the others? Hello? Hello?
A scant few yards away, Koenig, half carrying, half dragging the nearly unconscious Bergman, hears a voice.
Victor, you hear that? Help is here. Hello? Hello?
Well, there you are.
Thank God.
Koenig, Bergman and Helena are taken inside a vast dome-like cavern made of ice bricks, stalagmites, and stalactites. This is the Ice Palace. At its heart, a great glowing fireplace of crystals. Rowland's voice bellows through the huge room.
Come on, everyone! Beds, warmth, and hot toddy for our guests!
And the 7 men and 7 women inside quickly tend to the needs of the new arrivals. Koenig is the first to revive.
Helena, where is she?
Right over there.
Bergman?
He's safe, too.
Carter, where's Carter?
Carter? I didn't know there was another...
He's still out there. I must find him.
No, not you. We'll do it. Ted, take every man. Search for this fourth Alphan to the limit of your endurance.
Meanwhile, Carter, alone in the unmercifully cold Thulean night, stumbles, falls, crawls forward, till suddenly he touches something solid, metallic.
The eagle. The eagle.
Stumbling up the ramp, he collapses just as the door closes behind him. Later in the ice palace, Helena and Bergman have awakened and are listening to Rowland in amazement.
The planet is Ultima Thule. Our people are from Earth, survivors of the Uranus expedition of 1986.
The last we heard of the Uranus probe was Jack Tanner's report that the ship was breaking up in a proton storm. And that was some 13 years ago.
Oh, the ship did go out of control. We traveled at unbelievable speed to the farthest limit of the then-known universe and beyond. Finally, crash-landing here. We were... Ah! The search party is back. What luck, Ted?
No luck. Carter doesn't have a chance out there.
And we'll search again by daylight. Though, regretfully, I must say it looks hopeless.
Just before dawn, with everyone else in the ice palace still asleep, Rowland slips into the communications room. Turning on a switch, he hears...
Main mission calling Eagle One. You must lift off immediately. Icing conditions are worsening. Come in, Eagle One. Alpha calling.
Rowland reaches into the panel, deliberately shorts a circuit, and Morrow's calling goes dead. He quickly closes the panel, turns at the sound of footsteps, and sees Koenig approaching.
We must speak to Alpha.
I've been trying to reach them. Listen. Hello, Alpha. This is Ultima Thule. Do you copy? You see, perhaps it'll clear later.
Then we must get to the Eagle. Maybe we can contact them from there.
Come on.
Rowland is leading Koenig and a group of fur-clad Thulians on a search for the Eagle, when suddenly...
Listen!
The Eagle! Then Carter made it. He's all right.
There it is.
It's taking off. Alan! Alan! Stop! We're alive!
Thank heavens he's safe.
Yes, but the moon will be in range of this planet for only 5 more days. We have to let Alpha know we're alive.
Alive? Commander Koenig, you haven't begun to live yet. Come!
Back in the ice palace, the Alphans listen spellbound as Rowland explains.
We have lived here for 870 years.
870 years?
Yes, John. The computer says it's the year 2870. Either they or we have been through some kind of time warp.
As a result of over 800 years of experimentation, I am now close to unlocking the secret of immortality.
Immortality? Ladies and gentlemen, who'll make the first bid for Dr. Roland's magic elixir? Do I hear 1,000,000 souls? 2!
Don't mind him. Come with me. I have something to show you.
Rowland leads them to a small balcony, looking down on a vast underground cave. And there, in the center of the cave...
A spaceship!
Almost completed.
Phoenix, rising from the ashes of the Uranus probe.
With this ship and the secret of immortality, we shall leap from planet to planet, from solar system to solar system, from galaxy to galaxy. We shall be gods in the universe. All that is needed now is that you join me in one final experiment. Then together, all of us, you and all the people on Alpha, will step forward into the greatest scientific adventure in the history of man. As Rowland leads them back toward the ice palace, Tanner grips Koenig by the arm and leads him in another direction.
I see a hungry mind. I'll feed it on wormwood and gall.
This place, it's a duplicate of the ice palace.
Our cave of the revered ones. Behold, our honored living dead.
He points at 4 men and 3 women in seemingly perfect health, eyes open but unseeing. Living vegetable.
Friends of bygone days who've given their all for science and Dr. Rowland.
Ghastly. Unbelievable. Why haven't you stopped him?
We are scientists. We all wanted the answer to the ultimate question. As commander of the probe, I submitted myself for the first experiment. But I was luckier than they were.
You were here?
A long time. Then I regained what we wittily call my mind. The good doctor deplores its erraticism, but envies my new psychic ability.
Right now, you're as sane as I am.
And right now, the doctor prepares his final great experiment.
They race back to the Ice Palace laboratory section just in time to pull Bergman out of an experimental chamber.
But, John, Dr. Rowland described the experiment as a development of epsilon ray analysis. I believe it is perfectly safe.
And as a doctor, I see this as the greatest medical challenge man can face. The conquest of death is the ultimate fulfillment of a doctor's Hippocratic oath. We can't leave it now.
Momentarily defeated, Koenig leaves. Entering the communications room, he finds Tanner examining the circuitry.
Strange, don't you think, that your people should suffer your loss in silence?
Meaning what?
Meaning that there's more here than meets the ear. Look.
A burnt circuit. That's no accident. Here, I'll replace it.
He presses a row of switches. The panel lights up, and then he presses the key.
Hello, Alpha. Hello, Alpha.
Main mission here. Commander, is it really you?
Yes, Paul. We're alive. And there is life here. People from Earth.
Fantastic. Carter made it back, and he and Dr. Mathias are in Eagle 2 right now on a return trip to Thule. I'll pass the word.
Carter and Mathias arrive at the ice palace and stare in wonder at the scene that greets them. The food, the warm fire, and the beautiful Thulean women. All this in Lit Forever? When do we move in, Commander?
This is no time for jokes, Alan. We have a vital decision to make.
Why not vote on it? Those who wish can come. Those who do not can stay on Alpha.
That's reasonable, John.
A democratic choice.
No. Alpha cannot function without a great many trained people to operate it. We must all go or all stay. As commander, I will abide by a majority decision.
But the Alphans must be given all the facts. I shall go personally and tell them about the Thulean way of life.
Jack, will you come?
No, no, no. I shan't go. Nor should you, Dr. Rowland. By all disheveled wandering stars, I swear to you, death has dominion.
Aboard Eagle 2, heading back to Alpha Moonbase, Koenig speaks to Carter.
Can I count on you for support, Alan?
Most times, yes, you know that. But this, Commander, I just don't see the problem.
Suddenly, from the passenger module...
Commander, come quick!
Rushing to the door, Koenig stares in horror at the abominable sight that greets his eyes.
Good Lord.
Rowland has turned into a shrunken, dripping corpse. And caught in his skeleton of a hand is Helena's hand. Back at last in main mission, Koenig and the others listen to the voice of Jack Tanner as they watch the ice planet on the big screen floating away in space.
Well, Commander, not to be outdone, we on Thule have also cast our votes.
What have you decided?
We are abandoning the search for eternal life and are turning our minds and resources to the problem of restoring the revered one.
We pray for your success. Jack, you're fading fast. Goodbye, and thank you. I wonder, in the end, can it be death that gives meaning to life?